Welcome to a Durban Christian Center South Ministry message.
We're going to get into the Word. Just remember, we've got books and resources. The one I am teaching from is Masters of the Economy. God has designed you, called you, anointed you to be a master of your economy. That means you're supposed to have authority, dominion over your finances and your economic factor. And I'm going to explain a little bit more about that today. God never designed for you to be a servant to finances. The Word of God says the one who borrows becomes the servant to the one who lends, meaning that he wanted us not to be the servants. The original word servant, there's the word slave. God never intended for us to be slaves to a financial system that sucks your life dry by the time you retire, and you retire in debt, you retire in poverty. The scripture that is connected with the scripture on the borrower, a servant to the lender, goes on to say, train up a child in the way they should go. And when they are older, they will not depart from the way. So the training that we go through is what lays the foundations for us to be ready to be masters of our economy. Meaning, if we are going to master our economy, we've got to be trained right. So it's really, really great that you put together this event, this conference, for us to come and be trained, to be taught, to be equipped in the Word of God, so that we get revelation from the Word and be able to apply that in our lives. And one of the quickest ways to move into the place of revelation and a transformed mind, like Pastor Johnny was saying, is through reading. The process of neuroplasticity basically talks about your brain's ability to change and become something else. Neuroplasticity has its highest expression when you are reading and assimilating information, and when you begin to speak it out audibly to yourself. That's why the Word of God says we must read the Word, speak the Word. This book of the law shall not depart out of your heart, out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Your brain changes based on the information you're constantly assimilating. And if you're assimilating more negative information than positive information from the Word of God, you are up against a really high hurdle. So you need to increase, accelerate your hearing of the Word and deliberately create an environment around you where the Word of God is taught. So when we gather like this to read the Word, it is vital. In a Jewish setting, one of the things that is very, very vital is the reading of the Torah. God actually said to Abraham when in Genesis, when he was having the issue of destroying Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, I am choosing Abraham because he will teach his children after me. So Abraham was qualified to serve God because of his heart that was going to train his children to understand the Torah. So it is for us to hang around the Word, dwell around the Word, helps us to begin to renew, rewire, and restructure our brain for success. That means you have to. I know people say, no, I don't like reading. You don't have to like reading. Just like success, like wealth. Hate poverty, desire to be prosperous. That will motivate you. In financial seminars, I always say to people, how many of you want to be millionaires? Every hand goes up. How many of you want to be billionaires? Every hand goes up. How many of you want to do what millionaires and billionaires do? Then a few hands go up, because millionaires are reading. Billionaires are reading. They're exposing themselves to new knowledge on a consistent basis. And that means if you're going to step into your next level, your assimilation of the right information is vital. Expose yourself to truth. And that's what we endeavor to do in all the books that we write. So please make the investment into yourself and the memory stick as well. I understand that's going well. People love the Word, love the principles of the Word, and they're getting equipped. And I think that's a great, great thing. Get into the Word, listen to the Word, and the Word will change your life. Let's quickly get into today's lesson as we pray. Father, we love you. We thank you that the entrance of your Word brings light and understanding to the simple. Thank you that in your light we will see light. Your Word is a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. Let the Word of God be illuminated in our hearts, that we may be totally transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we may be able to fully comprehend the greatness of your love, the height, the width, the depth, the greatness of the love that you have for each one of us. Transform us as we we have in love encounters with you that equip us to walk in your word and in your ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. We're going to talk about the hundredfold increase, the hundredfold increase in your life. How do I activate the hundredfold increase? How do I step into that place where I begin to experience financial increase? How many of you are saying, I want to see increase in my life? One, two, three, four. Okay. I wasn't sure there. I just needed to make sure. Increase comes not by accident or by default. It comes by design. You're not going to increase just because you're in the church. You're not going to increase just because you're hanging around people that are increasing. It comes by design. You have to desire to increase and then be willing to implement a process that brings increase. I often say in coaching sessions when I'm speaking to people, the difference between rich people and poor people, the difference between successful people and unsuccessful people is that the rich people and the successful people are willing to do what the poor people are not willing to do. If you become willing to do what the rich are doing, you will become rich. If you are willing to do what the guy with the six-pack didn't get it by just saying, twinkle, twinkle, little star, I really wish I had a six-pack. He went to the gym, he ate right, he worked out while you were busy surfing and changing channels, he was at the gym. So you don't get a six-pack by just hoping to get one. It's what you do on a day-to-day basis. You don't build a great marriage by just saying, oh, I really wish my wife would love me. You read books, you invest, you study, you go on dates, you invest time together. The result is a good marriage. So in the same way, you do not get financial increase just by hoping you do. And I have learned, having been a pastor for many years, I have learned that there are many people in church that are giving their tithes and their offerings that don't understand the process of increase. I came to a place where I also was a bit frustrated. I thought, God, I've been a tither for almost 23 years now. Ever since I caught the principle of tithing, I began to tithe. But I was tithing without full revelation. So I got protection, I got healing, and I got God's covering over my life, but I did not experience financial increase. I remember a conversation I had with the Lord one day as I was praying, and I was saying, God, why does this cycle of lack and so on keep continuing in my life? And God said, son, give me something to bless. And I said, what do you mean? He said, son, give me something to bless. And I said, I don't understand. He said, son, give me something to bless. With Moses, he had a rod in his hand. And when I blessed what was in his hand, we were able to open the Red Sea. With the young boy, he came with the fish and the loaves. When we blessed the bread, it was able to feed thousands. In Cana of Galilee, they came with water. And I was able to bless the water and it became wine. What have you brought to me? And I realized that I was coming to God looking for blessing, but when God released the blessing, it had nothing to sit on. The blessing had nothing to increase. The blessing had nothing to multiply. And we know in mathematics that 1,000 times zero is zero. So when God's anointing of blessing comes on you and there is nothing that you have in your hand that God can bless, you will have a blessed nothing. So if you bring your fish, one fish, if you bring your little business, if you bring something, that's why the prophets in the Bible always ask the question, what is in your hand? What do you have? What is it that you have? And the woman, one woman says, I have nothing. Then she suddenly had a revelation. Oh, I have a bit of meal. It says, okay, that's good enough. When the anointing comes on what you have, we can multiply it. When the anointing comes on oil, we can multiply it. When the anointing comes on flour, we can multiply it. So the anointing is seeking something to sit on. So let's go into the word and begin to learn how we can activate this hundredfold increase factor in our lives. Masters in the notes, masters of the economy know how to get the hundredfold return on their seed. And we've already established yesterday that the seed is a divine instruction that has the ability to reproduce after its kind. Every seed is a divine instruction that has the capacity to reproduce after its kind. So to be a master of your economy, you've got to understand, you've got to come to a place where you know how to get a hundredfold return on every seed. Mm-hmm. Business is about investing and expecting a return on investment. Everything in the kingdom operates on the principle of investment and return on investment. God is a businessman. He never does any transaction that is just for the sake of doing it. Everything that he does has a cause and effect. I do this because we're expecting that return. So God is a business person. So when we come to giving, that's why I don't believe people that say, you know, when we come to the house of God, you Christians are always talking about you give and then you must receive and expect to harvest. And no, you must just give because you love God. Nowhere in the Bible does God say that. God is a business person. He understands transaction. So whenever love is expressed, there's always a return on investment. The same way in marriage, whatever you give to your wife, she gives back to you a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Give her one word, she'll give you a sentence. Give her a seed, she gives you a baby. Give her grocery, she gives you a meal. Give her, so whatever you give to your wife, give her. Give her stress, she gives you hell on earth. Because everything you release on this earth will come back to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So right from the beginning, God initiated the principle of the hundredfold return on every transaction that happens. The financial arena is very interesting because the level of intensity of spiritual warfare in the wealth and financial arena is different from every other arena because Satan closely guards the financial arena because he knows if he loses control of the financial arena, he loses control of what's happening in the world. Like the saying goes, the one who pays the piper calls the tune. So he wants to ensure he is paying the piper, therefore he calls the tune, determines what happens in any atmosphere. So if we as DCC in Bluff, in Wentworth, in KZN, in Durban, in South Africa, if we are going to bring change, we must have the capacity to pay the piper. We must have the financial capacity to release resources that will change the atmosphere of the environment that God has called us to. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. The Bible in the book of Ecclesiastes tells us a very interesting story of a man. The Bible says there was a certain wise man who was poor, who lived in a certain town. And it's an oxymoron for a wise man to be poor. But he was wise, but he was poor. And the Bible says an enemy greater than the city came against the city. And the wisdom of the wise man saved the city. And after his wisdom saved the city, they forgot him and his wisdom. That's a picture of the church. We have the solution to drugs. We have the solution to violence. We have the solution to crime. We have the solution to racism. Look at what's happening here. This is beautiful. People get healed here. People are able to live together here. People are able to relate with each other. No racial issues. People are able to be a blessing to each other. We have the answer. But the problem is the wise man, the church, is poor. Therefore, we have lost our voice. Okay, that's good. So God wants you wealthy. Tell your neighbor that. God wants you wealthy. That neighbor didn't believe you. Tell the other one. Tell the other one. Now, every word, every verse, every instruction that God gives carries within itself the capacity to fulfill itself. So when God speaks something, he loads his breath or his life into everything he says so that as he releases it, it can fulfill or do or bring to manifestation whatever he has said. That's why the Bible says the latter killeth, the spirit gives life. The words that I give unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. And he also says the word of God is God breathed. It carries the breath of God, the ruach, the breath of God, the very life of God, or the essence of who God is. Okay? So let's look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 11 in our notes. And God said, let the earth bring forth herb yielding seed and fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. Very interesting statement. God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, carrying seed, having seed within itself, after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. The earth and everything in it was designed by God to serve man. Everything that is on earth was designed by God to serve you. The sand was designed to serve you. The earth was designed to serve you. The trees were designed to serve you. The cockroaches were designed to serve you. My kids always say, Dad, why did God make mosquitoes? And I tell them, mosquitoes didn't bite people until the fall. Man still had dominion then, so he could tell mosquitoes, you can't bite me. It's flies, mosquitoes, and all these creatures became a nuisance because of the fall. It's actually true, though. There's humor in it, but it's actually the truth. The earth and everything in it was designed. It was given an instruction. Your assignment is to serve men. That is why you can create computers. You can go to the earth and cause the earth to produce a car by giving instructions. You can create phones, you can create rings, you can create fabrics, you can create anything. Why? Because everything in this earth is designed to serve you. That is really awesome. We were created to master our economy by mastering creation. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created male and female, created he them, and God blessed them. And blessing there is not just like when you sneeze and I say bless you, but it was the very impartation of who God is that he imparted into man. And he says, I'm imparting my ability into you to function in this earth. So be blessed, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over every moving thing that moveth upon the earth. So in so doing, man's toenail became fruitful. His hair became fruitful. His pinky became fruitful. His eyes became fruitful. His ears became fruitful. Everything that is in your life has the ability to be fruitful. That is why you got to listen to the right words. I told you yesterday that my teachers told me and my school certificates told me that I was dull, that I was a failure, that I was hopeless. And unfortunately, I believed it. Until I began to understand that no, my brain is capable of doing supernatural things. Praise God. When I decided that I am sharp, I am brainy, I am anointed, my brain can function, I decided to go through Bible school. And I went through 3 years of Bible school to get my bachelor's, and the only time I studied was one time in all 3 years. And the month that I studied, that paper is the only paper in 3 years that I failed. It was the paper on finances, financial structures and systems. I'm not brilliant in accounting, the accounting side of finance. So I thought, man, I got to really study here. So fear came in and I'm thinking, oh God, what am I going to do? So I didn't allow the same process that God told me, that when you sit in class, allow your spirit to receive and assimilate the information. And when you get to exam, you can bring it out. That's what the Bible says. The Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance whatsoever I've taught you. So I began to understand that, oh, my brain has the capacity to retain information, but my spirit has a bigger hard drive than my brain. So the same when I did my master's, I now understood how to receive. And I began to make the parts of my body serve me, because my body was designed to function according to the original blueprint. So don't believe the education system that told you you're a failure. Don't believe those people that told you you don't have a high IQ. Oh, come on, say amen. Amen. Because some of you have believed that you're going to be just a failure the rest of your life. You're just going to be at the bottom the rest of your life. The way to step into your increase is to understand that I can transform everything that I have and bring the hundredfold factor back into play. The Bible says about Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were in Babylon. Let me go back to the lesson yesterday, the power of the tithe. The power of the tithe, the Bible says, Daniel was 10 times wiser than all the other children of Babylon. What made him 10 times wiser? The principle of the tithe. God reversed things. Oh. So God can make you sharper, 10 times wiser. Praise God forevermore. When you understand the power of your tithe, it'll affect your brain. It'll affect your business. It'll affect your finances. It'll affect your marriage. You can be 10 times wiser, 10 times better, 10 times sharper. Scientists say human beings only use 10% of their brain. But for the tither, for the believer, the one who speaks in tongues, you have the capacity to go back to 100-fold. Amen. That's how I've managed to write and publish 10 books in 6 years. And that's how I'm managing to write 16 books at the same time. I'm working on scripts for the movie. Our movie goes into production next month. Another 3.5 or 4 million rand project. How did that happen? How did I get the brain to do movies, to do business, to do coaching, to do publishing, to do all of this? This is not natural. It is supernatural. It is the hundredfold anointing that has brought me back and changed my life totally. Praise God. This is God. And this will work for you. Somebody say it'll work for me. Praise God forevermore. Cain had equal opportunity to be a great blessing, but he lost his opportunity because he allowed sin to master him. Cain allowed sin to master him, and we've already spoken much about Cain in the last few sessions that we've done. But by sinning, the Bible says, the earth lost its ability to produce its strength. Why? Because God says, the earth has received your brother's blood, or bloods in the Hebrew. In other words, you've killed generations, and that's causing everything to stop working on your behalf. Fortunately, in the New Testament, we come to the place where we are in Christ, and Christ has reversed everything that happened in the negative in the Old Testament. So we can now walk in the fullness of our privileges and our benefits. People that never master their thinking will never master their economy. So the first place to master is your thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth that. A tree shall be known by his fruit. Amen. So you can begin. Now, that is again very interesting. As I began to listen to a lady, you may know her, Dr. Caroline Leaf. She talks about the structure of the brain and how that the brain, every time new thoughts, new ideas are developed, you get new branches on your brain. So your brain grows by virtue of the thoughts that you're thinking. And you can either have negative thoughts based on your offense, your anger, your unforgiveness, and it's a shriveled up tree, or you can have beautiful, lush trees in your brain because you're walking in love, you're walking in unity, you're walking in prayer, you're walking in peace. So when you now connect that with the passage of scripture that the tree is producing good fruit or bad fruit based on the information it is assimilating, you can manage your brain and your thinking by changing your thinking. People that never master their thinking will never master the economy. The quality of your thinking will determine the quality of your living. If Satan can influence the quality of thinking, he can affect your quality of life. Mm-hmm. If Satan wants to affect the quality of your thinking. Now, let me show you. We're talking about, remember, the conference is called Wealth and Revelation. Now, let me show you something very interesting. In the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, Satan came and deceived them to believe that by eating the fruit, he says, you will be like God. And then they ate the fruit, and the Bible says God comes and he begins to have a conversation with them around what has happened. And a very interesting statement is made. It says you have become like one of us. God said that. But unfortunately, when it was translated into our English Bible, it didn't import the truth of the original statement. In the Hebrew Bible, it literally says, you have become the unique one amongst us. What was unique? Why was God saying man had become unique? Let's finish the sentence. He says, you have become one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, let's put the proper statement into the sentence. You have become the unique one amongst us, knowing good and evil. The Bible says in the book of James that God does not change. In him, there is no variableness or shadow of turning. In other words, God is good, consistently good. So when man was made, he was made in the image and likeness of God. That means he was good. He had the ability to and the capacity to produce good. But when sin came in, he became the unique one among them. Why? Because now he was the only one who knew both good and evil. And in the Hebrew, knowing good and evil is not just I know good and evil. But knowing good or knowing evil means you know it so intimately, therefore you are able to produce it. Because knowing is having the capacity to produce. So when Adam ate the fruit and sinned, he now knew he had the capacity to produce good and evil. That's why whatever man creates carries both good and evil in it. It has both negative and positive. You create a car that gives us the ability to travel, but the car can also kill you. You create electricity that gives us the ability to do amazing things, but the electricity can also kill you. Everything that man makes has the capacity to do both good and evil because man fell. If man had not eaten of the fruit, everything that came out of him would have carried just good in it. But there was a breach in the program and there was a corruption because a virus came into the system called sin. And that program now creates a product or produces products that carry the propensity, the capacity to harm man. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, and then their eyes were opened. Now that statement is very interesting because we then see it again in the book of Luke. When you study the book of Luke, the Bible says the men from Emmaus were walking on their way, being busy doing whatever they were doing, talking, and they were sad. And as they walked, the Lord Jesus came and joined himself to them. And it says, and their eyes were holden. In the King James, or they were blinded, closed. So they walked along the way. Jesus joined them and he began to speak. And the Bible says he asked them a question. What are these things that you're talking and you're walking along the way and you are sad? And he says, are you yet a stranger in Jerusalem and you do not know the things that have happened? He says, what things have happened? He says, this man, Jesus of Nazareth, we thought he was the Messiah, the one who was to redeem us. And he died and now it's been 3 days. And he has not arisen. In other words, he had told us he'd be alive after 3 days, but he hasn't come up from the dead. But in any case, the women that went there to the tomb this morning, they came and told us that he's no longer in the tomb. In other words, these people were still operating in the Adamic nature where their eyes were opened. But Adam's eyes were opened from revelation to blindness. So as they walked with Jesus, the Bible says he began to share with them the scripture. And as he shared the scripture, they were so passionate. They were so excited. Then they got to the destination. And the Bible says, and Jesus pretended like he would walk past. And they constrained him and they said, no, it's late. It's at night. Come in and stay with us. And Jesus went in because you've got to constrain anointings if they are going to redefine your life. Oh, that's good. Anyway, they sat down at the table. And according to Jewish custom, the head of the home is the one who breaks bread. And remember, this period is the period of the 7 days of unleavened bread. They're going through that whole process. So now they arrive at the house. He's going to break bread. Jesus breaks the protocol and he gets the bread. And the Bible says, as he broke the bread and he begins to pray, suddenly, their cognitive capacity reconnected this process with what had happened a couple of days ago. Because he's breaking the bread and he's praying and blessing the bread. And they suddenly realize this is the Messiah. And then the Bible says, then their eyes were opened. Those two statements, if you read the Septuagint, the Greek Bible, it's exactly the same wording or phrasing as in Genesis. So it is exactly the same process except in reverse. So Adam's eyes were opened to blindness and their eyes were opened from blindness to revelation. So what you need is revelation into the scripture so that you can begin to understand who you are. And the Bible says, and immediately he disappeared from the midst. And they said to themselves, oh my goodness, did not our hearts burn within us as he shared from the scriptures and spoke the word? You see, it is the sharing of the word that causes your heart to burn. It is the sharing of scripture that brings revelation. As scripture is opened, you begin to see and your eyes are opened from blindness to sight, from blindness to revelation. So we need revelation of who we are. So if Satan can influence your thinking, he can affect the quality of your life. Why? Because he will blind you from what belongs to you. And the church is walking around blinded from the truth. We are supposed to be walking around as millionaires, billionaires, financial influencers, high in authority, walking in dominion. But Satan has caused us to compromise our position and we're walking in weakness. I want to challenge you today. Lay hands on your head right now and say, Lord, open my eyes. Declare it again. Say, Lord, open my eyes. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, and ever since I heard of your love and your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, I cease not to pray for you, making mention of you in my prayers. What are you praying, Paul? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may open your eyes. That your eyes may be flooded with light. That you may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. That it's exactly the same power that he exerted, exhibited, demonstrated when he raised Christ from the dead and set him at his own right hand, far above principality, power, might, and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. The church has more power than we know. There is power in you. There is dominion in you. There is authority in you. We need revelation of who we are. We need revelation of our dominion. We need revelation of our authority. We need revelation of our position. We need revelation of our power. And when we begin to get revelation, we begin to know who we are, whose we are, what we have, our rights and our privileges, and we can redefine the economies of our nation. Somebody say amen to that. One more time, say, Lord, give me revelation. So Satan plants seed in order to affect the harvest. Satan will always plant wrong seed in order to affect the harvest. The size of the harvest is determined by where the seed is sown. Whoa, that's good. The size of the harvest is determined by where the seed is sown. Each fruit has seed within it that has seed within it. Interesting statement, but very important. Every seed has seed within it that has seed within it. Now, what happens? How many of you have sons? And you've bought your son the nicest, most awesome, most expensive toy, whether it's a car, it's an aeroplane, whatever it is. How many of you have been there? You buy that awesome toy for him. He plays with it the first day, second day, third day. What happens after a while? He gets a screwdriver. He opens that thing up. You know why he's doing that? Let me tell you why they do that. Let me tell you why your sons do that. And what do we do when they break the toy? We spank them, don't we? Because there's something wrong with us as parents. When your son is breaking the toy, he is looking for the seed. He is looking for the why. What is this thing? How did this thing come into existence? How does this thing work? China has become one of the leading nations in innovation and technology. Why? Because they encourage their children to break the car. America makes a phone. China takes it, breaks it up, looks at the seed. and say, we can reproduce this better, quicker, faster, cheaper than America. And that has made them leading in the economy. Our education system in South Africa is designed to frustrate innovation. I got so frustrated, we started our own school. One of the kids in our school has developed a game. It's going live next week on Google Store. This is a 12-year-old. No, not 12. He's 14. He's a 14-year-old. He's developed a game. And it's going live on Google. Because we've structured our curriculum to develop the kids so that by the time they hit matric, they are millionaires. That's the goal. If we fail to get the million, at least he's got 800,000. At least he's got 600,000. It's unlike the conventional education system that says, go and buy a stove, go and buy a fridge, go and buy a TV, pay it in 6 months, get a good credit rating so that when you get to high school, when you get to varsity, you can now buy your first car on finance. You can then get a good credit rating and buy your first house on finance. That's the demonic system. The kingdom system says, let's find a way to buy it cash. Okay. Okay. I thought we could just throw that in. Seed is an instruction that responds to the condition that provoked the seed to initiate the production of a harvest. Oh, I've got to read that one again. Did you write that down? Seed is an instruction that responds to the condition that provoked the seed to initiate production of a harvest. Archaeologists were in Egypt, and as they were going through one of the pyramids, they found a tomb, and they found pharaohs used to be buried with their slaves and with bags of seed, so that as they go into the next world, their slaves could sow the seed and make sure that Pharaoh is fed. So thousands of years later, they open a tomb and find seed. They took the seed, planted the seed, and the seed grew. This is after thousands of years. Amazing. Why? Because in the tomb, there is no light, there is no heat, there is no moisture. When a seed gets into an environment where there's heat, where there's light, where there's moisture, the seed says, oh my goodness, I'm designed to respond to heat, light, and moisture. So your seed must be in the right place. I get people that phone me, message me, and call me from all over the world saying, Pastor, I'm struggling financially. What should I do? One of the first questions I ask is, where do you go to church? Because if you go to a church that doesn't believe in financial prosperity, it doesn't matter what prayers I pray for you. I'm the man of God with the financial anointing. It's not going to work. You've got to be in the right environment. That's why being in a church like this is beautiful. There's heat in this church. There's light in this church. Revelation. There's moisture in this church. You are in the right place. Get planted. They that are planted in the house of the Lord shall be fat and flourishing, and they shall be still bearing fruit in their old age. It's the environment that you're in that makes you fruitful. Oh my goodness, this is good. This is good. The environment that you're planted in. That's why you shouldn't just go all over the place. A tree, doesn't matter whether it's the best pedigree seed. If one day it's here, then next week it's there, then next week it's there, then it doesn't matter. Even if those soils are good, it's going to die. So you can't be in every church. You can't be in every conference. I'm not saying now you say, no, I can't go to that. No, no, that's all I'm going to say. This is your primary place of planting. Be planted. Don't be a vagabond. Vagabonds don't increase in wealth. Papa was a rolling stone. Wherever he laid his head, that was his home. Rolling stones gather no moss. Any word that is nullified by the power will be nullified by the power of offense, will lose its ability to produce a harvest. Seed is an instruction for reproduction. Seed is the unit of reproduction of a flowering plant, capable of developing into another such plant. That's nice. That's the scientific explanation of what Genesis says, that everything reproduces after its genre, after its kind. So seed is a divine instruction for reproduction. So whatever seed is sown, it will determine what harvest will come out. So if you're going to step into financial increase, you must understand that every rand is a seed that has within itself seed that has the capacity to reproduce others after its kind. So if you need more rands, get some rand seed and sow rand seed. You will have, after the process of time, rand harvest. If you want a good marriage, sow a good marriage seed. Sow some kind words. A gift here, a gift there. Quality time here, quality time there. You will reap a harvest. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, ladies, support the pastor here. So getting into the hundredfold increase is a process that you activate harvest by what you're sowing. On the next slide, quoting from Masters of the Economy, to break out of poverty and move into financial freedom and mastering your economy, you have to master the production and distribution of products and or services. Famine is a period where the land loses its ability to produce sufficient resources to sustain you. You got that? That's good. Many people are living in self-imposed famines. A lot of famine is self-imposed. I blamed the devil. I blamed everybody. And I said, no, my life, until I realized that it's up to me. I had to break certain things. I had to make certain decisions. I had to make certain adjustments. I had to start reading. I had to develop the structure of reading. Why? Because I had to sow seed into me. I had to discipline my ADHD personality that wanted to be everywhere and say, you got to sit down 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours and read. My budget for purchasing books, I'm a publisher, so I have the privilege of getting lots of books for free. But every year, I will buy between 3,000 to 5,000 rand worth of books. I take my kids to bookshops, to CNA, exclusive books, every month. Once every month, we have a book excursion. Just even if it is just to walk around and touch books and look at it. Why? Because your mind must appreciate the value of knowledge and investment and sowing seed. Every piece of knowledge you read is a seed that carries within itself the capacity to reproduce after its kind. So I've got to be deliberate about what I read, how often I read, the intensity of my reading. When was the last time you read a book? All your thoughts are manifesting in your life. Oh my goodness. All your thoughts are manifesting in your life. So you might as well think good thoughts. You might as well arrest every negative thought. Those thoughts about divorce, bind them. That's the devil. Those thoughts about poverty, bind them. That's the devil. Because every thought that fills your mind will manifest. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You're reproducing whatever is on the inside of you, because your mouth will speak what's in your heart, and your mouth is the tool for transmuting heavenly thoughts or demonic thoughts into their material equivalent. It is the transmitter or the transformer that takes devilish thoughts, makes them real. Godly thoughts makes them real. So what thoughts are you exposed to? Expose yourself to godly thoughts. Expose yourself to thoughts from heaven. Expose yourself to thoughts that are in the Word, and you'll begin to see a change in your life, and you'll begin to see new things happening in your life, new doors, new opportunities, new favor, new increase coming to you. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Oh, your mind is a powerful force. Your mouth is a transmuter of, God designed it to be a transmuter of heavenly thoughts. How do you get to a place of production and creation and release of powerful concepts? By connecting with heaven. One last slide, then I close. My goodness, this is powerful. An economy consists of three things, three fundamental things: production of resources, distribution of resources and or services, and the consumption of products, resources, or services. Poverty is a product of a community or a household or a group of people whose lifestyle is that of consumption only without production. Wow. What's your lifestyle? It's just consumption. When was the last time you produced something? When was the last time you got an idea? When was the last time you created something? You innovated. A new flavor of biryani, a new flavor of samosa. When was the last time you innovated and created something new? You better create something new. Colonel Sanders has become famous worldwide. Why? Because of Kentucky Fried Chicken. A recipe from his grandmother has given him. I mean, he was a tither. He was a giver. He understood the principle of tithing. And it was tithing that unlocked the door for the birth of KFC. And he tapped into the ability to be fruitful, to multiply, replenish the earth. KFC is everywhere. And they're dominating in fast foods. Why? Because of the power of the tithe, the power of innovation. Are you just a consumer? That's why you're poor. That's why you're struggling financially. They've told you can't produce anything. No, you can create an app. You can create an idea, a new program. You can write a book. You can publish a book. You can publish a curriculum for children. You can publish. I mean, we've challenged all our children now in our school, and we're publishing a book in the next 2 months. It is a compendium of articles written by all the students in the school. So now we're writing readers that our kids will be publishing. So now all the sight words are being incorporated into readers that are kingdom-based. Because we discovered there was a bit of a problem. All the books that our kids were reading, that the readers were being written for our kids, particularly, and I don't have racial issues because I'm comfortable in any environment, but I suddenly noticed that the kids in black schools would read readers about people, their father coming home carrying a bicycle or coming home in a scotch cart. While their white equivalent kids were reading about their father coming home in a nice car, living in a comfortable background. Now, that created a mindset. So now that needed to be changed. So we said we cannot have our kids reading stuff that is establishing in them a mindset of poverty. Your highest goal in life is to get a bicycle and come home and say, look, I served, and my 15-year-long service award was a bicycle. Production. Production. You're producing thoughts based on information that is coming to you. Garbage in, garbage out. Get some good thoughts into your mind. Get some word into your spirit, and you'll begin to establish a new way of thinking. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands to heaven and say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you're shifting my environment. You're shifting my economy. Thank you, Father, that you're giving me ideas, wisdom, knowledge, revelation about my next season. Your word declares, your word says, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I give the ability to birth witty inventions. I thank you, Father, witty inventions have been given to me, ideas that will translate to financial increase. I am moving from one income, from one revenue stream, to two, to three, to four, to multiple incomes in the name of Jesus. My brain is being restructured by the power of revelation, and I'm stepping into a new season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, that I am wealthy in Jesus' name.
We trust that you were blessed by that word. Our prayer is that you are inspired to become more like Jesus. If you'd like more information about Durban Christian Center, contact us on Durban code 031-467-0457. We'd love to hear from you, so please send us a praise report or even a prayer request. Thank you, and God bless.